All right, today we're doing a podcast with Norfolk State University's head baseball coach, Claudell Clark. How are you, Claudell Clark?
Good morning to you. Doing well.
That's good to hear. I know you guys are going through some weathery issues in Virginia right now, but that's expected for this time of year. But how's the baseball team?
Getting better. Started off a little shaky defensively. Missed a few spots, and a few miscues and a few missed spots will cost you a few games versus these tough Division I teams. But the last two games, we certainly feel like we've gotten closer to where we want to be. I had a chance to really win the Old Dominion game most recently, and I had a lead with one out in the ninth inning versus our last game of the series versus Lehigh. So we're getting there. Oftentimes, things people look at strictly wins and losses, but early in the season, the teams have to progress to where they're trying to get to. Oftentimes, you don't get all the wins, but you have to just keep your eye on the progress, and the progress is being made.
Well, last year's team was 27-16.
Okay.
That team a year ago has the same makeup with the same players with this year. My question to you, coach, is what is expected?
Our goals have done nothing but increase. More conference wins, more overall wins, and not only the Northern Division Championship, but the overall MEAC Championship. Obviously, you have eight other teams vying for that spot, so it's not going to be easy, or nine other teams, but those are our goals. And I do believe that the pitching, if it stays healthy, and our position players, if they stay healthy with this pace of progress, I believe those goals are attainable.
Well, what's it like, Coach, coaching in the MEAC?
It's very competitive. Obviously, our non-conference schedules are made up of much larger schools with oftentimes many more resources. But our MEAC teams have competed well versus them. A number of teams have had series sweeps already this year. And obviously, in conference play, you just never know what a weekend will bring you. Even if you feel like you have the advantage over a team, in some cases, the games are normally even because the teams just fight so hard for those conference weekends.
Yeah. Well, we at Black College Nines, we feel that you have one of the best pitching staff of all of HBCUs. Can you tell me something about your pitching staff?
Well, they had some really good outings so far. Again, wins and losses have not shown that, but stuff-wise, I've been very happy. A number of players, not that that means everything, but a number of players have shown, good upper 80s fastballs, guys who have touched 90, which has some merit, and guys who have shown some good location, the ability to come in, throw strikes in key situations. Our starters threw pretty well last weekend, deep into some games, 70 to 90 pitches with no health issues. And, we're very excited about that. So we don't have the largest pitching staff probably in the conference or the state or the world, but the guys that we do have, certainly have thrown the ball really well and have certainly been very effective, and that we're happy about where that puts us going into conference play.
Well, with that being said, I have eight questions for you about eight players on your team.
All right.
When I call their names off, your players' names, tell me about them.
All right.
Alex Mauricio.
A two-way threat. Young man hit a grand slam and a home run on this past Sunday. And I really, had it not been for a calf cramp, probably would have closed out a win on Monday. Or actually, those home runs and that closing opportunity were done in the same day. Excuse me, so that was Monday. Two-way threat, a guy who's been very explosive, and when healthy, who could be one of the better players in the conference. Really didn't get any preseason nod, but I certainly hope that he will be there at the end of the season.
Jonathan Mauricio.
Great body and a loose and easy fastball. Impressed a few scouts this past weekend. Certainly made a lot of improvements from last year, and just very effortless on the mound. But the fastball jumped from 83, 84 all the way up to 88, 89. And now with that nice down angle, loose body, and a pretty good breaking ball, he did some things as well. So a guy who really no one is even losing sleep over or is even circling on a sheet. But he has certainly helped us, and he will certainly be a weapon that we use, whether he's respected or not. He can pitch, and we're certainly going to get some good innings out of him this year.
Ismael Herrera.
Tough as they come behind the plate. Freshman who played a lot of games for us last year. And he has really wisened up and learned a lot behind the dish. Has called a couple games already himself this year. And that really makes the whole pitch calling process much easier because of his ability to work with the pitching staff. I had pretty good offensive numbers last year. A game this year already with a couple doubles. And we do look for big things from him as well.
Angel Rosario.
Very good from the left side. Right fielder with a good arm. Had almost a couple of potential assists this year. Just out of his reach, but a very good arm. Was our mainstay left-handed hitter last year. Top of a couple others. Like I said, has yet to catch fire, but has put a few charges into a few balls. You have to think before the end of the season, or even before conference play, he will be his normal self and be in the middle of the lineup for us.
Robbie Heiser.
He is injured this year. People don't realize that. Robbie had a high ankle or a low ankle, bone spur. So Robbie will be out for us this year. We're getting that taken care of or have gotten it taken care of. The rehab process has begun. And Robbie will be back with us on next year. Arm is still healthy. The procedure went well. We'll proceed without him. But that'll be one less core player and preseason NEAC player that we'll have to recruit next year. So still in the organization, still excited about him.
Now these last three guys I'm going to call off to you, Coach, I consider these hard hitters. When I say hard hitters, I mean these guys can bring it from the mound. I'm talking about Devin Hemmerich.
Devin is going to be one of the tougher ones in the conference. Didn't play defense all that well behind him. He still went 6 or 7 innings with a number of innings to where we had to give records or where we gave the team extra outs. Again, we're getting that shored up. That's not going to happen anymore, but to be able to navigate through 6 or 7 innings for a team like that in Lehigh, which is a very good hitting team, with men on base, some of which he put on base, some of which we gave him, or which we saddled him with. But to navigate through all of that and throw three pitches, four strikes at any point during the count is just phenomenal. And he certainly improved even over last year. And we can just give him some run support and some defense. Devin can really do whatever he wants to do on that mound. Just pitching, just the ball is just an extension of his hand, and it's really nice to see him out there.
And the preseason, Black College 9's preseason All-American, and the MEAC preseason All-American, Matt Outman.
Well, that's another one. Devin strikes you with the baseball just being the extension of his hand. Matt, he strikes you as the competitive, as the ultimate competitor. And, he's just on the mound, and you can see him staring in the eyes of the other batter. And even on days he doesn't have his best stuff, just his stare makes you feel like you still have his best stuff. So with those two, it does make coming to the park a little easier. It's never an easy thing. It's always nerve-wracking, but those two calm the whole situation down. Matt's been the Friday night, if you will, or the game one starter for us for 2 years, and it'll continue to be this year. And he just gets the weekend where the series kicked off on the right way. It's not almost impossible to find somebody more competitive than Matt.
And what about Michael Parmentier?
A young man who's made, in some cases, you could say, an 8 to 9 mile per hour jump in 1 year. And again, not stressing velocity and everything, but certainly helped him out because he's always had a great breaking ball. But when you can get up on a batter to maybe jam or maybe to get him a foul ball or get him to be behind on something and then be able to follow it up with a slider and a curveball. Many of days that he can throw both of them in the same day, which is rare. To be able to follow that up with pretty good velocity, he's been very effective. Had a great relief appearance for Lehigh. Went a little bit further past his pitch limit for that day. Just kind of took on an extra inning or so for the team. But, you know, he was certainly effective in his block of pitches that he was allotted. And started well again for his Old Dominion just past Tuesday on a couple days rest. The stuff is certainly there. Both the breaking balls are certainly there. And, you know, whenever we have him at the mound, the team feels very confident. So, great bullpen guy there.
Well, tell me something, Coach. Tell me something about yourself. What was your first year like as a player at Norfolk State? I know you attended there. So, what was your as a player? What was it like? Versus, what was it like now being the head coach?
Well, one thing in common is still very exciting. Still very humbling, equally. Still a very eye-opening experience every day. You know, every day I was a player, and still to this day as a coach, you know, sometimes you still say, you know, wow, is this happening to me? Because, you know, just really was not highly touted and highly recruited out of high school. And, you know, on this level, you know, you have coaches who are very accomplished and who have toiled and worked a number of years as assistant coaches at many higher levels, many levels on the pro level, or many years at the pro level to get to these positions. But to be recruited and have a pretty good career as a player, and then to pay some dues and then be get entrusted with the Division I program, still a hair-raising experience, still an eye-opening experience. Still, even to this day, you say, hey, you know, this is an opportunity of a lifetime, and you got to keep pushing to make the most of it. And I think that's what kind of keeps me going each day. So the excitement and the humbling experience of it, I think, is something that has both in common with being a player here and a coach here.
Well, last season, Norfolk State installed college baseball most ultimate electronic scoreboard. How did that come about?
Okay. It kind of all started, you know, all of us have budget limits at HBCUs, all of us. And, you know, you started off when we needed to raise money a long time ago for some batting gloves. You know, we were able to kind of go out and do that. Also have a very supportive booster club made up of parents who come and go. But we always keep a core together. And what I did off of that was just, you know, approach local businesses and had been from this area and begin to come in contact with people who wanted to support our baseball team. And that grew from $100 bills or $100 checks, $500, $1,200. And to this day, at times, it'll be $5,000 or $10,000. So that fundraising need and fundraising demand has really turned into something that we do on a regular basis. Taking on larger and larger projects. At one point, we painted our scoreboard dark green, which worked out well. And then, obviously, all things come to an end. We were informed that it was going to kind of go out on us. So, not relying on the administration or anybody else, we took it upon ourselves, the baseball program, to design and install a brand new state-of-the-art LED scoreboard. And that project was about $70,000 or $80,000 at that time. And our friends at the program and the Booster Club came up with that in less than 6 months, and we were able to install it. So it's really been a blessing, not only on the athletic side, but working with the friends of the program to nonstop improve our facility.
Well, a lot of D1 programs, I'm finding out, and over my years' experience at college baseball, is if you want to get something done, you have to work around the administration. And the administration doesn't always think about the student athlete's best interest, especially in the field of sports. What do you think about the administration?
Well, like I said, our administration has been very supportive. I wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for them. Oftentimes, people have to realize there's a certain base level of things that an administrator or administration will do. So if that's your basic field maintenance or your basic equipment needs or some sort of jersey per year or whatever it may be, reallocation of materials for the field or whatever it may be, your travel and things like that, there's some basic level things that they're going to do. But what people have to realize is when you want to go above and beyond for that second batting glove or that second load of dirt or that scoreboard that lights up instead of just the scoreboard that you just turn on, some things you have to go and dig a little deeper for if you want those extras. So it's not to say oftentimes that administration will not do for you on a basic level or even make enhancements or upgrades. But if you want to go at the pace that some of these other schools are going, or if you have visions of having your program at top level, you have to add to supplement what the administration does so that you can have some of the things that you feel like you need to be ultimately competitive on the field and on the recruiting trail. So our administration has been very supportive, but we've had to go even a step further to catch up with the Savannah States and the FAMUs and the Delaware States and all these other schools, because they're getting the bells and whistles and they're getting the locker room, they're getting the new field, and they're getting banners and windscreens and beautifying the facilities. We've had to go above and beyond to keep up with these programs. North Carolina Central and ANC has done this as well. We've had to go above and beyond to keep up with those schools. So administration-wise, Coach Miller, and we have Melody Webb here, they certainly backed us up, but the fundraising has had to go to a higher level give us the extras that we want.
Well, tell me this much, Coach. What is your connection with the Norfolk Tide, the minor league affiliate? How does that game come about?
It's a long-standing relationship. Obviously, we're right across the highway, so it's a geographic relationship. And again, our athletic director has always had a pretty good relationship with them. But for the longest, Old Dominion University is kind of a cross-town rival. They played the Tide, and it's one of those things to where you never would have thought they'd ever stop. But that relationship not necessarily came to an end, but the game came to an end. And we were given the opportunity to do that, I guess, about 5 or 6 years ago. And, again, we talked about earlier, taking advantage of opportunities. We were able to put, 7,000 or 8,000 people in there for a year. They were very impressed, and so were we. So we've been doing that every year since. It's just been a tremendous recruiting tool, a public relations tool, and it's been great for the student-athlete experience. That's something that the student-athletes and their families look forward to each year. So that, on top of a tremendous fundraiser. So it's just really benefited our program greatly. It's something that I'm not sure of any other HBCU doing. Not that I wouldn't encourage them to do that, or it wouldn't be great if they did it, but I'm not sure if anybody is doing that currently. And it certainly seems to have given us an advantage in terms of recruiting.
Well, Coach, I appreciate the time. I appreciate what you're doing for Norfolk State, and keep up the good work, and God bless you and God keep you.